Hey guys, I'm Jordan.
I'm Maya.
And today we'll be discussing specifically Lyle's sexual abuse and how that played into the events which took place on August 20th, 1989.
Just as a trigger warning, this is going to be pretty intense subject matter. We'll be talking about child sexual abuse, child-on-child sexual abuse, incest, child pornography, and sexual assault.
Hey, first of all, I think we should sort of lay like a framework for why we actually believe the sexual abuse testimony of Lyle is credible. So one of the things that you think supports his testimony being believable?
What really like solidified it for me when I was first starting to look into this case was the child pornography of the brothers that was presented at the trial from when Lyle was 8 and Eric was 6. So, do you want to talk about where they found those photos?
So, yeah, they were found in a bunch of negatives in an envelope that was named, I think it was called Eric's 6th birthday, and it was in Kitty's handwriting.
Mr. Menendez, I'm showing you a Kodak color prints envelope with the number 219 on it. Would you take a look at that? Do you recognize the handwriting on the front?
That's my mother's.
And what does it say?
Eric's birthday, November 1976.
And in November 1976, how old would you have been?
8.
We know Kitty had access to the photos, and they were sort of interspersed with other pictures from Eric's 6th birthday. The photos themselves, the one of Eric has him, I'm pretty sure he's like got like a robe or something, and he's like holding it open with one of his hands. Yeah, from what I can see, it looks like it's like half hanging off of him, and he's sort of holding one half of it with his hand. So to me, that looks like someone has like directed him to do that. Like, the way he's sort of hanging onto it with one of his hands.
Yeah.
So the picture is very suspicious. Eric also has an erection in it, and it cuts off his head, so you cannot see his face in the picture.
But you can tell that it's him because he has a birthmark on his wrist. And then the picture of Lyle, he's in the bathtub, and it's just his waist down.
Showing you what we've marked as 223. Do you recognize that photograph?
Yes.
And who is that?
That's me.
I find quite a lot of significance in the fact that their heads are cut off in both of the photos.
Yeah.
I think it's almost like a depersonalization of them. Like, it's done on purpose, I think.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think Lyle even says that he recalls photos being taken and that his father would focus on their genitals and not on their faces.
Now, when you said that your dad would come in periodically and just take pictures of you, the two photographs here, we've marked one which you've identified as yourself and the other one as Eric. Children without clothes also appear to be children without heads. Is that correct?
Yes.
And when he would take photographs of you of this nature, would he seem to be directed at taking photos of your faces?
No.
What would he?
He would take photographs of your genital area and the lower half of your body, or you bending over, or just different parts of your positions is what I never really knew.
Because you never saw them afterward? Or
he would be focused on those areas, but I didn't see I've never seen these pictures.
So, extremely corroborative of sexual abuse. I mean, people like to make so many excuses for all of the evidence that the defense presented about the sexual abuse. Like, some people claim that the brothers took the naked photos of each other, which it just, first of all, it does not look like a child took those photos. And second of all, even if they did, it doesn't make sense for them then to, like, see those photos and be like, oh, now we can kill our parents and say that they took these photos. Like, what? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Kitty saved the photos. She saw them. So even if the brothers did take the photos, why on earth would she keep them? In the second trial, in Leslie's closing arguments, she peeled off, like, a sticker on the envelope, and the writing underneath it showed that it was, like, named to J. Menendez, which is obviously Jose Menendez.
So he got the pictures developed, and then Kitty afterwards labeled it?
I think so. I think that's what it is. That's just me guessing. It's kind of hard to say because you can only go off of what is in the transcript. So there's only so much you can sort of gauge off of what's in the text. But it does go towards, like, the parents knew that these photos existed and kept them.
Kept them for, what, 15 years?
Yeah. I don't know. To me, I think the photos are pretty strong corroboration. And I think the people who sort of, like, try and excuse it by saying the brothers must have taken the photos, I think are just ignorant. Or they're trying to ignore evidence which contradicts their view, in my opinion. As for how the sexual abuse really started with Lyle, it was something that Jose had originally spoken to him about, as sex being a bonding mechanism between men before going into battle. And he would have Lyle read passages from history books to do with, like, Greek and Roman soldiers.
There would be particular passages about Greeks, soldiers having had sex with each other before they went into battle as a way of bonding with each other, so they have a stronger connection. And he would talk about the same thing with regards to sports and he and I.
This is all grooming. This is very typical in cases like this.
That way, when the actual abuse happens, the child thinks that it's special and that he's being treated specially by his father or whoever the abuser is. So it doesn't feel, quote unquote, wrong.
Yeah, I think that sort of goes towards, like, corroboration as well. I think that aspect is so similar to other cases of sexual abuse and incest that it's the sort of thing that you wouldn't really be able to make up if the story wasn't true, especially back in the early 90s.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like they could go and Google search the grooming process or whatever.
Exactly. That's something that I've thought about before, is that people don't realize that, like, that you can just search these things up. People didn't know about child sexual abuse or incest in the way that we do know about it now.
Yeah. So Jose sort of groomed Lyle by talking about the soldiers and this bonding mechanism and saying that their relationship was special and that, like, the firstborn son and the father had a special relationship. And then he started to incorporate, like, massages and sexual touching into it.
And between the ages of 6 and 8, did your father have sexual contact with you?
Yes.
And how did it start?
Just started with, after sports practices, He would massage me. And, we would have these talks, and he would show me, and he would fondle me, and he would ask me to do the same with him, and I would touch him, and we would undress.
Where would this take place?
In my bedroom.
And how often would this happen?
Like 2 or 3 times a week.
And for how long did this happen?
Not too long. It began to change.
When did it begin to change?
I'm not sure exactly at what time, but almost close to when I was 7.
And how did it change?
Just became more involved.
What do you mean, more involved?
We would be in the bathroom, and he would put me on my knees, and he would guide me all my movements, and I would have oral sex with him.
You want to do this? At some point, did he do some other things to you?
Yes.
What else did he do to you?
He used objects.
What kind of objects?
A toothbrush and some sort of shaving utensil brush.
And what would he do with the toothbrush?
Well, in the bedroom, we'd have what we called object sessions. And just slide my pants down or take my pants off. Sometimes it would be for a short period of time, sometimes longer. Just lay me on the bed and he'd have a tube of Vaseline, and he just played with me.
And was there some point in time when he decided to use something besides the toothbrush?
Yes.
And did he try to anally penetrate you with something else?
He did.
And what was it?
He raped me.
Which again is like this grooming process of, you know, another part, an extension of that grooming process of eventually, like, quote unquote, normalizing what was happening.
Yeah, it's slowly trying to normalize the behavior before, like, you can't go to one extreme straight away if you're trying to groom the child into thinking that it's normal behavior. I mean, I think that also plays into like some of the aspects of it where Lyle wanted to please Jose, and to him, like, it was something that he wanted to do so that his father loved him.
Did you ask him not to?
Yes.
How did you ask him not to?
I just told him I don't I'm sorry. I just told him that I didn't want to do this. And that it hurt me. And he said that he didn't mean to hurt me. And he loved me.
Was that important to you? That he loved you?
Yes, very. But I still didn't want to do it.
Did you tell your mom?
Yes.
What did you say to your mom?
I told her to tell Dad to leave me alone. And he keeps touching me.
What did your mom say?
She told me to stop it. And that I was exaggerating. And that my dad has to punish me when I do things wrong. And she told me that he loved me.
I mean, it's typical of the incest dynamic.
Yeah, that is actually the part of Lyle's testimony where he says that was like, well, first of all, it was heartbreaking. But second of all, that like was really corroborative for me because I feel like looking at it from an outsider perspective as like thinking about like the jury, for example, saying that he knew that it made his dad happy, so he did it, is like, it doesn't make sense because the act of child sexual abuse doesn't make sense. But if you were making something up to try to justify killing this person, why would you say that this was something that you were doing to please him? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Serena G actually mentioned this in one of her videos, that the way that they describe the sexual abuse would be confusing to a jury. It's things that the average person probably back in 1990 had little to no clue about at all. So the way that the brothers are describing the sexual abuse and how it made them feel or what they wanted to do at the time, it would confuse a jury member if you were making something like this up. It's not the sort of stuff you would make up.
And the way that Jose treated it by, you know, telling Lyle that he didn't mean to hurt him and that he loved him is confusing. If you,
yeah,
like, if you don't know anything about CSA, because I think, especially at the time and even still now, people view like pedophiles as horrible people that just do horrible things to children, then by incorporating this element of like love into it, it's confusing.
I mean, even though Jose did say that he didn't mean to hurt him and that he loved him, he did also tell them that it was their secret.
What did he tell you about telling people?
He just said that it was our secret. That bad things would happen to me if I told anybody. And I told him I never would.
I've seen a lot of comments of people being like, why did Lyle's lawyer ask him if he wanted to do this? He had just divulged some part of the sexual abuse and she asked him if he wanted to do it. And I remember reading comments of people being like, why is she asking him this? And I think it probably was because when he talked to her about it, that's something that he included in his conversation with her. Like, this wasn't just her asking him about something that they hadn't discussed before, if that makes sense. So she was, I'm sure that she like carefully tailored her questions to only extract the information from him that he had already told her that she knew what he was going to say.
Yeah, wasn't Jill one of the first people that Lyle told as well?
Yeah. There's another question. She asked him if he asked Jose not to do it. And I feel like that one particularly, I think, was probably something they had talked about. Like, if he hadn't told her before what he had said to Jose, then she would not have asked him whether he said that.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
I think people forget that I'd say the majority of what Lyle said on the stand was probably things that he had already told either his therapist or Jill Lansing. Like, it wasn't something that she was just asking him questions for the sake of asking him questions. Like, she knew what he was going to say.
Yeah. What do you think about something that Dr. Conti mentioned in his testimony, that he was suspicious that it could have gone on longer, or like there was a lot more to tell than what Lyle had told him?
Yeah.
Because it was too much for, like, Lyle couldn't handle it.
I think he's probably right. I mean, one indication of that, I think, is that the pictures of the brothers were taken presumably around the same time. So I kind of find it hard to believe that Jose, on Eric's 6th birthday, just switched. I do wonder if maybe Lyle's abuse lasted longer past when Eric turned 6.
Yeah. And then, what about what happened, what Lyle did to Eric?
Yeah, so Lyle would take Eric out. I guess they lived near the woods. This is in
Muncie, I think.
In Muncie, yeah. They lived near a wooded area, and Lyle would take his younger brother, who's, I guess, about 5 at the time, out to the woods and take objects as well and play with Eric, like Jose had played with Lyle.
How old were you when this stopped?
8.
So during the time between 6 and 8, when this was going on, did you tell your brother? No. Did you do something to your brother?
Yes.
What did you do to your brother?
I took him out to the woods whenever I felt, I don't know, I took him out sometimes, and I took a toothbrush also, and I played with Eric in the same way. And I'm sorry.
Again, this is something that is seen in children who are being abused, is that they will abuse other children as a way to, like, sort of wrap their head around what's happening to them. I think I'm going to include that clip of Dr. Conti talking about it.
He told us here on the stand that he had also done the same type of thing to his own brother.
Yes.
Did that have any meaning for you in terms of evaluating this?
Yes.
And what was the significance of that?
Well, again, it's not all victims, but many victims will engage other children, often younger children, in the same things that are happening to them. There are different labels or the different ideas about why victims do that. One of the reasons is that it's a way of gaining mastery over the experience. So you do it again, but you do it as the doer in the hope that it'll feel different. Some people talk about trauma play or traumatic play. It's acting out with others or in play the traumatic event that you were exposed to. His description of what he was doing to his little brother, both when I talked to him about it and when I saw the videotape of him describing that, were consistent, and those two times were consistent. And it was also consistent with how victims have talked about victimizing other people. Especially, I think, significant is that he was engaging his brother in that aspect of the abuse that he experienced with his father that I think was the most aversive, the sex with objects. When he talked about that, that was clearly the most uncomfortable, most traumatic part of that traumatic experience, and that was the part that he was engaging with his brother.
And when you said the videotape, you mean the videotape of his testimony?
I'm sorry, yeah, the videotape of the testimony.
I feel like the fact that Lyle admitted on the stand that he had also abused Eric speaks to the credibility of what he's saying, because why would you admit to something like that if it wasn't true?
I think it's another aspect of something to do with the sexual abuse that's likely to confuse jurors, because I can imagine that if you've never seen anything about sexual abuse or incest before, if you hear that someone has abused their sibling, it's probably quite a confusing thing. Like, why would a child then go on to abuse their sibling? But I mean, once you learn about incest families and sexual abuse victims, like, it makes sense. But if you're not educated on the subject, I can imagine it can be quite confusing.
If you were going to make up an quote-unquote abuse excuse for why you committed a crime, why would you talk about something that's so misunderstood and that's going to confuse people? Even aside from like the details like we've been talking about of Lyle molesting Eric, for example, even the whole grooming process is something that's so misunderstood. And if you were trying to come up with something that was false, that was going to get you acquitted, why would you bring something into it that is so confusing? And, you know, you would think that if they were conspiring with their lawyers to make up this story, that their lawyers are the ones who have in mind what's going to appeal, quote unquote, appeal to a jury or be convincing to a jury. So if they were assisting them in making up this sexual abuse, it doesn't make sense that they would do that, because they know that it's misunderstood and that people are going to be confused by these statements. So Lyle doesn't remember this, but Diane, his cousin who lived in the house, so Diane lived in the house when Lyle was 8, and she remembers a time when Lyle came downstairs to where her bedroom was and wanted to sleep in her room.
I pretty much just brushed him off because I wasn't taking him seriously.
And what happened then?
He proceeded to indicate to me by touching himself down and saying that his dad and him had been touching each other down there.
And what did he ask you to do?
He wanted to sleep down there.
And what did you do?
I went and got Kitty and brought her downstairs and told her what was going on.
How did Lyle seem this time? Was this a joke?
No, he was serious.
And what happened when Kitty came down?
She didn't believe me.
Did you tell her?
Yes, I told her what I believed to be going on, what Lyle was indicating to me. And I don't remember that she said anything to me, just that I knew that she did not believe me, and she took Lyle and brought him back upstairs.
yeah, for the longest time, Diane had become, like, so convinced that she was in the wrong because Kitty had, like, done such a number on her that she convinced herself that, she was remembering it wrong, or that maybe Lyle had made it up, like Kitty said, that she just didn't come forward with that information. I think she eventually... When did she tell the defense?
It was, like, multiple years after the brothers were arrested, after Eric had told the family.
I think it was, like, 9 months after she had gone to visit the brothers in jail. I don't remember when that is, though. So this wasn't something as if, like, oh, the brothers were arrested, they then claim abuse, and then, like, suddenly after Diane visits them in jail, she says, oh, yeah, Lyle told me he was abused when he was a kid. This was, like, almost a year after she had last seen Lyle. And she called up, I think, Jill Lansing and Leslie and basically said, hey, I remember this happening. I just wasn't sure about it before, but I'm certain now.
Was that before or after Lyle had said he was abused too? Because I know he didn't come forward with his abuse until multiple years after Eric.
I think it was before. So I don't know. I'm guessing maybe after the family were told at the end of 1990, wasn't it? Or near the end, in the fall of 1990.
Yeah, about Jose's abuse of Eric.
Yeah, I think after that, and after she had visited Lyle, it probably started to click in her head, wait, I know something. Something that stuck out to me along those lines is, you remember in Alan's testimony when he's being cross-examined and he's asked,
Mr. Anderson, during the period of time that you were at these houses, you never saw any sexual abuse, did you?
We were not allowed in the room.
When I heard that from Alan, I knew straight away that he believed them.
Yeah.
You can hear it in his voice.
It's crazy to think, like, you know, at the time he probably didn't know, but then for the lawyers to come and say, this is what was happening, then, like, the puzzle pieces fit together.
I think I've seen someone else describe it that way as well. It's like there's all these like little pieces, but when you put them all together, like the full picture makes sense.
Like, I'm sure there are things that Alan observed while he was living there that didn't make sense to him at the time, and so he doesn't remember them now. But then, like, maybe if he had known that there was sexual abuse in the house at the time that he was living there, he may have picked up on more things.
I feel like people in general now would pick up on things. Because this is like back in what, the 70s, wasn't Alan there? Or early 80s? No, it was late 70s.
Yeah, it was the 70s.
Yeah, so was really someone back then going to really pick up on anything? And Alan was quite young, wasn't he, at the time, like 15?
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, after Lyle's abuse from Jose stopped, he definitely continued to exhibit signs of a child who had been sexually abused. And one of the things is hypersexuality. So the incident with Diane where essentially, they sexually assaulted her.
Diane was, like, roughhousing or, like, just sort of play fighting with the boys. I think Eric was 10 at the time and Lyle was 13.
And it started out as just exaggerated play. We were all wrestling around. And somehow or another, in a very rapid transition, we were wrestling, and before I knew it, they were tying me up, and they got me down to my bra, with me screaming and them being very frantically doing what they were doing.
And did they stop then?
Yes, they did. It stopped at that point.
Yeah. But then when she says stop, they stop. But I think that does speak to, like, that hypersexuality of children who have been sexually abused.
I mean, that wasn't the only incident with Diane as well. There was also an incident, I think on the same visit, where she and Lyle were in the living room watching TV.
Without any words being spoken, Lyle climbed on top of me and began fondling my breasts.
And what did you do?
I froze because I had no
Were you surprised?
Idea how to handle this because I was surprised. I didn't invite it, provoke it, entice it. It just came. Yeah.
And what did you do? Did you stop it?
Yes, I did. It stopped.
So it's like another incident where it's consistent.
But then again, I think she told him to stop and he just stopped immediately.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think that sort of goes towards, like, Diane believing the brothers as well?
Maybe. I wonder if, like, she talked to one of the therapists or something about those incidents. Because I remember from Dr. Briere's testimony, him saying there's, like, specific signs of children who have been sexually abused, and the main one is hypersexuality. So I wonder if either the lawyers or the therapist kind of relayed that information to her.
Yeah, and then she sort of connected the dots.
Another effect of the sexual abuse that was seen in Lyle's preteen to teenage years was that he wet the bed until age 14. And that's actually a very specific sign of a child who has been sexually abused, is wetting the bed.
I guess another indication that Lyle was someone who had been sexually abused as a child was his frequent dissociating, which his teacher, I think it was specifically Alicia Hertz, said that, like, he would just wander off in class all the time mentally, and she always noticed it when he did it. And I think it says a lot that their teachers and coaches, because coaches testified to this as well, that they would see this happen to both brothers so frequently that it stuck out to them.
Yeah.
So that's another big sign.
In, like, middle school and high school age, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember where I saw this. I'm going to check and make sure this is true, but I think Child Protective Services wasn't formed until 1980. Yeah, in 1980, U.S. Congress passed the Comprehensive Child Protective Services Act. So, okay, in 1974, the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act required states to prevent, identify, and treat child abuse and neglect. So it's like, this is very new. I kind of doubt that they had the kind of training that teachers do now, or the kind of mandatory reporting that the teachers do now to identify signs of child abuse.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even in their testimony, it sounds like they had a feeling that something was off, but they just didn't have the training. And also maybe because they taught at a private school, all of these factors sort of came together, which sort of prevented them from doing anything at the time.
Yeah. Like, I feel like now a teacher who is continuously noticing these signs would know that that's something they should call to the attention of, like, the principal or the nurse or, you know, someone who could investigate it further. The other notable thing from Lyle's preteen / teenage years was that he started to become extremely protective of Eric, which is also consistent with children who come from abusive homes. I think Eric talks more about this in his testimony, but Lyle started to like stand up for Eric when it came to Jose's treatment of Eric.
Lyle did end up confronting Jose when he was around 13 years old, when he suspected that what happened to him as a child was still happening to Eric, because he could hear things in the other room.
It stopped for you with your dad when you were 8. When you were about 13, did you think that it might be happening to someone else?
Yes.
And who did you think it was happening to?
Eric.
And did you do something about it?
Yes.
What did you do?
I talked to my dad.
What did you say to your dad?
I told him that I knew what was going on with him and Eric, and I heard the noises, and that I wanted him to leave Eric alone.
And what did he say to you?
He told me that Eric was... that Eric made things up sometimes, but that it would stop. And we should keep it just between us, or he'd kill me.
Did you ever tell anybody what you thought was going on?
No, I told him I would never tell anybody. I just wanted to stop.
Did he tell you it would stop?
He did.
I mean, it sounds like a typical threat that someone like Jose would make. Basically saying, it's not happening, but I'm just saying, if it is happening, it's gonna stop, and if you say anything about it, I'm gonna kill you. Honestly, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, is it really that much of a surprise that they were so scared that they went and bought guns when their dad has been telling them their entire life, if you do anything against me or out me to anyone, I will kill you? Like, is it really that much of a stretch to think that you, like, after terrorizing someone for so long, that they would genuinely be afraid for their lives?
Right. Like, the one time that Lyle confronted Jose about it before, Jose told him that if he told anyone, he would kill him. And then, in 1989, when Lyle threatens to tell people, Lyle becomes scared that his father's going to kill him. It's consistent. It makes sense.
Yeah. It was after Lyle confronted Jose. Jose then, I think, beat Eric up, because he thought Eric had said something to Lyle.
Right. And then for a while after that, Lyle was like checking up on Eric and saying like, oh, is anything going on with you and Dad? Or have things gotten better for you? Things like that.
Did you talk to your brother about it afterwards, that you had had this talk with your dad?
Yes.
And did he tell you that things had changed for him?
Objection, hearsay.
Overruled. He said that he never admitted that anything was going on, but he said that he was glad I talked to Dad and that things had gotten better and things had changed. Didn't use those exact words, but left me with the impression that it was resolved.
Do you think the fact that they showered together and when Lyle was there, nothing happened, might have played into that as well? Him thinking that, oh, okay, nothing's happening.
Yeah. Eric said that he, Lyle, and Jose would shower together sometimes, and then sometimes it would just be Eric and Jose. And sometimes, when it was just Eric and Jose, there would be sexual activity. But if Lyle was there, there wouldn't be.
Yeah, and I mean, if we're going by, like, the Donovan Gaudreau tape, and also Robert Rand's interview with Eric, I'm pretty sure in that interview as well, he says that the brothers would shower with Jose as well. Like, yeah. even past the Lyle's sexual abuse stopping after age 8, he would still shower with his dad up until the age of 21.
Yeah.
Which is... I mean, and that was something that we... Eric said this to Robert Rand before the brothers were publicly suspects. Which I think that's huge to me. It's sort of fitting all the patterns of the typical incest family. Like, there's just no privacy whatsoever. This, is it in Robert Rand's tape or his interview with Eric, where, like, Eric mentions, like, the bath in the Calabasas house or something, and then, or Lyle said something about being worried about it or something?
Oh, I think that was Donovan?
I think. Yeah, this is Donovan saying this, I remember, yeah.
Donovan said that when Lyle, well, we'll get to this, but when Lyle disclosed to him the sexual abuse, that he said something about there was a large shower in the Calabasas house that they were building, and Lyle was worried about it. Which is interesting because, you know, presumably Lyle wasn't being abused anymore at that point.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring up Lyle's essay, right?
Yeah. So, in the end of 1980... No. End of 1982, so Lyle was 14. He wrote an essay for a school assignment where someone is sentenced to death for killing a child molester.
Some foreshadowing there.
But, I mean, that would have been right around the time that he confronted Jose, too. Or maybe a little after that?
Yeah, it would have been like a year or two after, I think. Unless, like, he's off of the dates.
I remember when I read it, it was kind of confusing. I mean, it was written by a 14-year-old.
I don't think there's anything, like, too specific about it that's, like, that important. Outside of the general, like, theme of the
essay. Wasn't the person who was abused around the same age that Eric was at that time?
I don't know.
Let me pull it up.
Do you have the essay?
I saved it. It's so eerie. Like, this line says, "You only looked at the evidence, smiled, and yelled guilty. Why, my friend, why? Do you know what drove him to do it? No, you don't even care." Yeah, it says, "The so-called child you said he murdered was 19 years old. He had just sexually molested and knifed his son. That child scared his 12-year-old son for life." So I think what that's...
Hold on. Wait. Are you sure the essay was written when Lyle was 14? And not 15?
December 10th, 1982. Oh, Eric would have been 12.
Oh, God. I mean...
Oh my God, it's so eerie. Then it says, "Because he protected his son, you are going to leave his family helpless. His sons will have no father, only confusion and madness. You are publishing the scene on TV. His sons will see his father die. They will walk down the street and people will ban them from the social world." It's interesting to think about how, at that point, Jose was treating Lyle as the golden child. So it's confusing because the father was the protector in the essay. I don't know if you would call this an essay, a story.
Yeah. Maybe it's got to do with, like, Lyle idolizing his father in a way and sort of trying to separate the two in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that entire essay is just really eerie. Eric brings this up in the second trial. I don't think he spoke about it in the first trial, but it's to do with the... Lyle apparently showed this essay to Eric. This was like one of the reasons why Eric was so hesitant to tell Lyle that anything was going on, because he saw the essay and was basically worried that Lyle would actually kill Jose if he found out that he was right. And I mean, he technically was right.
Should I put in I don't know, video of puppies in the middle of this? So then, Lyle goes to college. He's kept the secret, both about himself and about what he suspected was happening to Eric. And he, like, sort of starts to splinter off from the family, but is still in regular contact with both parents. But he's on the other side of the country from them because he was in Princeton and now the rest of the family moved to California. So I think that probably also played into, like, him realizing that he didn't know a lot of what was going on in the family when he was in college, because Kitty and Jose and Eric were able to keep things secret from Lyle because he wasn't living with them anymore.
No, I do think that. I think once he went to Princeton and the family moved to California, I think that even though he was still very controlled by Jose, I still think that separation gave him, finally, for like the first time in his life, probably gave him some sort of sense of freedom in a way. And him being so far away, when he realized that Eric was still being abused, it sort of clicked in his head how much he really didn't know what was going on when he was away from the house as well.
Plus, and I think at that point, Eric had started to, he was really, like, really hiding it for those last 3 years.
Yeah.
So I think that probably also helped or led Lyle to believe that it had stopped, or that, you know, things were better for Eric. Anyways, that goes, we could talk about the Donovan conversation first.
Oh, the Chinese restaurant?
Yeah.
So, what was it? Donovan and Lyle had gone out to eat, I'm assuming, just for whatever reason, at some Chinese restaurant.
Well, they had been really, really close friends. I don't remember, when did they meet? Like, the beginning of 1989, right?
Yeah, I mean, they hadn't really known each other for that long, but they formed a really, really close relationship.
Like, they were spending pretty much all of their time together.
Yeah.
And then, in May of 1989, they went out to a restaurant and were talking about how they were super close and how they had no secrets or something like that. But at this point, Donovan was actually lying to Lyle about a number of things, including the fact that he actually wasn't a Princeton student. So during the Chinese restaurant conversation, Lyle asks Donovan if there's anything he doesn't know about him. And Donovan told all of this to the reporter Robert Rand in a taped interview. Like, it was like a year before the trial.
Yeah.
Long before the defense had been revealed publicly. I think on the tape, Donovan says he thought Lyle was testing him to see if Donovan, that like Lyle wanted to see if Donovan would tell him that he wasn't really a Princeton student. But instead, Donovan tells Lyle that he was abused.
Yeah, and he says, you know, is there anything I don't know about you? And I said, you know, as a matter of fact, there is. You know, when I was a kid, I was told I was molested in front of my father's. We were spending the weekend at a business friend's house. And telling the story, I'm all choked up because I can't believe I've never told anyone the story.
And that was really personal. Yeah.
And then he was in tears. 20 minutes in speed. I'm telling him this whole story. I can still remember, you know, the pictures on the wall and the color of the room and the carpet and time it was. And, you know, everything about it. It's very clear in my mind.
And then Lyle tells Donovan that he and Eric had been molested by their father.
He's just bringing it all back up, and I was choked up. I excused myself, go to the bathroom, wiping tears off my face. He came back, and he told me about his father. And I guess maybe one of the reasons we were friends is because we had so much in common with this, the way we had suffered, you know, experience. And then to bring this into the relationship, as far as an experience we both shared that we'd never spoken to or about to anybody.
So basically, he said that his father had been abusing Eric.
Yeah, him and Eric. And
Lyle also.
Yeah, and we take baths and stuff. You're at this. It's weird because you felt we weren't drinking. We were just sitting there eating. And hopeless. So the chairs are up on the table. You guys just know the way for us to leave. And he's telling me this. I could have fallen out of the back of my seat. And he's telling me about him and his brother. And his brother has been the most affected by it because he's still, he was younger, more impressionable.
I think Robert says that Donovan told him that multiple times. That story.
Yeah.
This actually is one of the things that really, like, was super corroborative for me. But in that interview, there's a couple things that make it really corroborative for me. One is that Robert Rand is surprised that Lyle was also abused, because I think at that point Lyle hadn't revealed his own abuse to anyone other than Donovan, because Lyle didn't reveal his abuse until pretty close to the beginning of the trial, I want to say. So that was one thing that made it corroborative for me. And the other thing is that toward the end of the interview, Donovan says something like, Lyle told me that Eric had been more affected by it because he was younger. And that, to me, just speaks to sort of what we're going to get into next, which is like why Lyle believed Eric when he told him that it was still happening. That, like, Lyle had noticed that the abuse had affected Eric more, but he thought it was just because Eric was younger and more emotional, and that's why it was affecting him so much. But then to learn that it was actually because it was still going on would make a lot of sense to Lyle at that point.
Yeah. I always get confused between, like, what's on the tape and what Lyle testified to.
I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, which is why it's so corroborative.
What did Mr. Boudreaux tell you?
He told me it was a very... I could tell that something was coming, and he, after some amount of him crying and having a hard time getting out, he told me that he had been molested by his uncle, or I believe it was his uncle, another adult, and he told me a little about that and was crying, and of course this...
How did you feel?
I felt very bad for him.
Why?
Because I knew how it felt.
And did you say something to him?
I told him...
Did you want to help him?
I couldn't help him. I just wanted to comfort him and let him know that yeah, he felt that made him lesser and weak, and I wanted to let him know that the same thing had happened. I told him, basically, I don't remember exactly what I told him, but I had let him know that the same thing happened to myself and my brother, and that it was okay.
How did you react when you saw him crying and upset?
I started to... I don't know if I started crying or almost, but I felt like I couldn't talk. And I had to go to the bathroom. Came back, and I think he felt better.
When people deny the sexual abuse, I really think they haven't looked at all the evidence, because there's so much... Like, how do you explain that? Was Lyle lying to Donovan? Was Donovan lying to Robert Rand?
Yeah. You can't explain away people like Donovan at all. Especially after hearing Robert Rand's tape. Like, when you hear Donovan on that tape, there is no way that that is something that he just happened to hear from a friend. Like, he's obviously referring to a conversation that did happen.
Yeah. And what he says on the tape is nearly identical to what Lyle testified to. What makes more sense? That, you know, the brothers took the photos of each other, and Robert Rand fed information to Donovan, or that Jose took those photos and abused the brothers, and Lyle told Donovan about it?
Yeah.
I think the other thing with the Donovan conversation is that people always say, like, oh, why didn't they tell the therapist, for example? Why didn't they tell Ozeal about the abuse? Probably the only reason that Lyle told Donovan is because he was essentially prompted to by Donovan revealing his own molestation.
Yeah. I mean, probably because of the fact that Donovan was... probably the first person that Lyle trusted in a way, I think.
Yeah.
Outside of his family. I don't know. When people say stuff like, well, why didn't they just tell the psychologists? I think it's not really taking into account, like, how much it takes for victims to actually admit that something has happened to them. That aside, they just didn't trust Ozil anyway.
Yeah, I think people like to make this argument that, oh, abuse isn't an excuse for killing someone or blah, blah, blah. But I think the events of that last week really show why Lyle's childhood abuse was relevant to why they killed their parents, and that it did have an impact on him all the way through up until that night. So when Eric first reveals to Lyle that he is still being abused by Jose. At first, Lyle didn't really believe him. I think primarily because he was, at that point, like we were just saying, he had already sort of separated from the family and wasn't really seeing what was going on in the house anymore. But then he started to feel extremely guilty for not having helped Eric, not having realized what was going on. So the night after Eric revealed his abuse to Lyle, Eric like slept in the guest house with Lyle, and Lyle just stayed up all night.
And I was just going back and trying to figure out how this could have happened without me knowing for so many years. And I basically felt that it could.
Why? How could it have happened in the house that you were in for at least a substantial part of the time?
Rephrase the question.
You said you thought about how it could have happened without you knowing. Did you come up with an answer to that?
Only that, you know, I hadn't talked to my brother, and I really didn't know any details about what happened. And, but I felt that, based on what had happened to me, that I'm sure it had happened in his bedroom, times when I wasn't there. And I felt like, you know, my dad lectured us behind closed doors, and, you know, punishments were always behind closed doors. I got beaten behind closed doors. And, you know, at times when cousins were living in the house, and I felt like this is something that was going on behind the doors.
Were there times when you would see your dad in Eric's bedroom?
Yes.
Would you have ever gone in when your dad was in there with Eric?
No. Nobody would have gone in.
Why?
That was the rule from when we were real little. I just did not go in when my dad was in there with either my brother or myself. Nobody ever came in.
Yeah, I think all the guilt from his childhood sort of came back, especially like in regards to him abusing Eric. I think that probably weighed on him a lot.
I tried to think what I would do if what happened with my dad had continued, and it was hard to imagine. But you know, I couldn't get out of my mind you know, what had happened between my brother and I. And so in that way, I did feel responsible.
Well, he says that he had sort of dismissed what happened to him as something that happens to little kids.
I don't know how long he expected. I didn't know why it was going on. But I had, you know, I had always thought that that was something. I just dismissed what happened to me as something that happens to little boys. And I really, even at the time when I confronted my dad before, I thought it was a strange thing because my brother was already 10 years old or so. And at 18, I figured my dad would let him go.
He was already sort of thinking, like, this is really, something's really wrong here. Like, this is something different from what happened to me.
Yeah.
And then on Thursday night, Lyle has a confrontation with Jose, and he threatens to reveal what Jose has been doing to Eric. And then Jose implies that he's going to kill him. And this leads the brothers on Friday to start driving around looking to buy guns to protect themselves. They learn that they can't purchase handguns because there's a 2-week waiting period, and they didn't want to wait. So then they kind of didn't want to be at home, or they definitely did not want to be around the house. So they start driving, and they end up driving down to San Diego. And on the way there, Eric starts telling Lyle more about how horrific the abuse was and some of the worst parts of it.
I started asking him more about what had actually happened with my dad and say it was okay to talk about it. And we started to talk about that, although it was very hard for me to listen to. I talked to him about it.
Why was it hard for you to listen to?
For lots of reasons. Obviously I thought about my own situation, which seemed to be different than his, actually, but still brought back those memories and thinking about Dad and just visualizing what Eric was telling me was making me ill. And I didn't want to say, let's not talk about it, I don't want to hear it. And for him, it was like he wanted to get it out, and it was a very uncomfortable period of time. And then he started telling me. Then I realizing how sick it was. It was very different from what happened with me. It was very much forceful. That came later after the conversation. But first he was telling me just about some of the things that would happen, and they were very sick things. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I wonder what my mom is thinking, knowing that this information could be out there, and what my dad's thinking, something that they had discussed, what we could say to people. And that really made me very nervous, that I really didn't realize. I didn't realize till he started talking about it how bad it was, that we, you know, how scared my dad might have been that this would get out. And it was more than just like he fondled his son or something like that. I mean, this was very sick.
What were some of the things that Eric told Lyle on that trip? I think he told him.
I think it was some of the violent stuff.
I think he told him about the time that Eric had said no, and then Jose got a knife and put it at his throat.
Yeah.
Basically, he started telling me that my dad had, one of the reasons he had never told me before was because my dad had always threatened his life and essentially used me against him, saying that if he ever told me, he would kill me, and that Eric would be responsible for my death, and threatened him in other ways, physically. And my brother had just done a lot of it in just fear, constantly.
It's the sort of thing where, like, I'm like, I don't really blame him for being probably as angry as he probably was, because it's understandable. Like, after hearing those sort of things about your little brother who you're super protective over.
Mostly I felt like, you know, this guy is more violent, dangerous than I knew. And that if he could do this to my brother, he could do anything.
And that's when Lyle sort of realized how sick the abuse was for Eric, which I'm sure fueled some anger in him, but also sort of how dangerous the secret was and how...
I think he knew that, like, after realizing how sick these things were, that he knew that there was no way that either parent would want something like that out.
At that point, we thought we should definitely try to get some guns.
But I mean, if Lyle is like hearing these things, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you can even imagine what it probably would have been like. Like, to come close to like what he probably was feeling.
That's kind of where I feel like, you know, bringing it up to the actual shooting, like, I don't think you can reasonably say it's only fear at that point, especially from Lyle, because I do feel like this Friday conversation was fueling extreme emotions in Lyle, both like anger, fear, hatred, disgust, shock, all of it. You know, then 2 days later, when they kill them, I don't think that you can say at that moment he was only feeling fear. Not only is this bringing up Lyle's memories of what happened to him as a child, but then realizing, like, oh my God, this is something that's been kept from me for, yeah, this is something that's been hidden from me for so long, and it's so much worse than I thought it was, even when Eric initially revealed it.
I think Lyle is telling the truth when he says, even now, like, there were so many things that he was feeling at the time that he can't separate himself, because it probably was anger, fear, hatred, all these things all mixed together, which caused him to act out violently.
Yeah. Well, because on Sunday night, the 20th, wasn't like Jose indicating that he was...
Yeah, he told Eric to get up to his room. I think after hearing that, maybe, I think that's when Lyle, like, snapped.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Because now he knew what that meant. I really feel like anyone who has seriously looked into this trial, not just the media articles, but, like, beyond that, and sees things like the naked photos and Lyle's conversation with Donovan, for example, and still doesn't believe that there was sexual abuse in that house, is like just lying to themselves.
Yeah.
Like, this case had more evidence of sexual abuse than the majority of cases.
Yeah, like, unless they have actual, like, physical evidence of the abuse, like a diary or photos or video, I don't think abuse cases have as much evidence as this case. I mean, isn't that kind of, like, why so many, like, rape cases end in, like, no conviction? Because there is hardly ever any evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, if you had each of these pieces and then the brothers got on the stand and denied that they were sexually abused, or didn't relate that to the actual killings, then that would be different.
So that's why I think it's so surprising that in this case, and it's a murder trial, there is so much evidence that you can't really just explain away. Oh no, that's just how I see it. I think there's just way too much corroborative evidence.
So next time we will be discussing Eric's sexual abuse by Jose, which lasted from when he was 6 to age 18, and how that directly led to the brothers killing their parents.